Is it on? Testing 1, 2. I just wanted to thank Dee Dee for the photo booth. I just love it that we do that. It warms my heart to see the pictures of, it's like we're really our family. I'm a photo album nut, you can ask my daughter. And I'm always, our whole life, I build photo albums. In our cabin, Big Bear, we've been building a photo album for 10 years. And so I love that. I think it makes us feel more like family when there's pictures like that. So thank you, all the girls. Let's give them a hand, all the girls that are doing that. Yeah. And I just want to tell you a little story. Some of you don't know me. My husband and I had 2 children, and when they were 9 and 7, we adopted a newborn and a 15-year-old. And so my little one was really jealous because she was much younger. She was 3 months old, and the next one was 7. So she didn't get to go to school. They were all going to school, and she wanted to go to school with everybody, and it was a big bummer. And so what she would do is in her bedroom, she would take her stuffed animals after the kids got on the bus and left for school, and she would line up her stuffed animals on her bed, and she would be the teacher. And so one day I was walking by her room, and she's doing the Pledge of Allegiance with all of her little students. Yeah, I know, it's adorable, isn't it? So I'm walking by her room, and I hear, she's standing there, she's probably 4, I don't know, maybe almost 5, and she's standing there, and she goes, "With liberty and just a frog." Wouldn't America be better if we all had liberty and just a frog? Anyway, I was hearing the little people over there behind me as we were singing, and the Lord reminded me of that story, and I thought I could make you laugh. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for protecting it, Lord, for keeping it true. And Lord, thank you for how alive it is, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and how it can change, go in and divide the thoughts and intentions of the heart, Lord. Father, I pray that the words that I speak, the words that are your words tonight, would be alive like that, that we would be open and willing to hear whatever it is you have for us, Lord, that our hearts would be like David's heart was, Lord, once he was cleansed and washed, and then now he was wanting to be restored, Lord. And so I just commit this time into your hands, Lord, and pray that you'd bless it. Lord, I thank you for all the work you did today. Thank you for the redemption stories we heard today, Lord. And you're still alive. You're still moving. And you want to change. You want to help people. You want to draw them close and wash them clean. And I just thank you for the work that you've done in Dee Dee and Jen and Amanda. And I just pray for every woman in this room, Lord. You know what her needs are. And so I pray that you would meet them in a miraculous way, and that there would be no denying who did it, Lord, and that she would give you all the glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody once said, and I like this, because that our emptiness determines our filling. Isn't that good? So if we're filled up with a whole bunch of other junk, it's going to be kind of hard for the Lord to fill our cup. It takes the grace of God to produce a humble, willing, broken, help-seeking heart. Only God's grace could have made David see what he needed to see. And you know, we cannot grieve what we do not see. And we cannot confess what we have not grieved. And we cannot turn from what we haven't confessed. And so this is your weekend, ladies. And I pray, I mean, I felt the Holy Spirit moving this morning. And I know that you're taking advantage of it. And that just blesses my heart. And so this morning, it was David's, God's mercy was in David's truthfulness. He desires truth in the innermost being. And in the hidden part, he will make us know wisdom. So God's mercy God wanted to show David mercy. He loved him. He was a man after his own heart. But David had to get truthful with God. And when he did, then he was able to come to the Lord and say, wash me, cleanse me, right? And so tonight is God's joy is in David's restoration, verses 8 through 12. And the message is restore me. So if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, the next verses in our psalm that we're studying are verses 8 through 12. And David says this, make me to hear joy and gladness. May the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Is that precious? I just want to do that again. I just want to say it again. Do you feel his heart? Do you feel the brokenness that he had? Make me, oh Lord, make me hear joy and gladness, please. I don't like to be separated from you. I don't like for you not to be near me. You know, I love where it says, do not, please, Lord, do not cast me away from your presence. The greatest thing we have is the presence of Jesus Christ in our everydayness. Amen? His presence can sustain us through anything. I remember when we moved to California, Larissa had started a new school, and she was at Poway High, and I was working at Maranatha, and, we moved all the way across the country with our kids. That's a little nerve-wracking. And all of a sudden, I get a call from Ray Bentley's secretary, Meef, you need to come. I need to come get you. You need to come with me. So I'm like, what's going on? Well, when she finally got to me, she said, Larissa's been in a terrible car accident. They're life-flighting the driver to the hospital. I was just a mess. I just kept saying, Jesus. I was just like, Jesus, Jesus. She's driving the car, and I'm like, Jesus, oh, Jesus, please protect my daughter. Please protect my daughter. I don't know what people do who don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know how they walk through a day in this world that we live in without his presence. So I love these words. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, Lord. David knew his God, and he knew how much his God loved him, even though he had messed up. Isn't that awesome? Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. He knew that God was able to do that. He knew how powerful his God was. And then I love where it says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. That's where we got the title for this retreat. Restore my joy. And I even like the second part of that. And sustain me with a willing spirit. I want to be everything God created me to be. I want to be the best version of me that Jesus ever thought could ever hit this planet. And give him glory in everything about my life. And I love that I hang with a whole bunch of girls just like that. And that we pump each other up and we hold each other up, like Dee Dee said. And we encourage each other through the dark times and the difficult times. So I hope you're hearing. I walked the lake and I ran into Sandy. I was trying to memorize this, and I encourage you, you don't have to memorize it this weekend. That's ridiculous. It's taken me 3 retreats to get to where I'm at right there. That's how much I've memorized. Okay. Yeah. I encourage you. You want this one in your pocket, girls. You're going to want it in your pocket. And you're going to want to give it to your teenagers because they're going to screw up. They're going to make terrible mistakes. And they're going to feel that they have fallen so far from God that he could never, ever forgive them. And I, in fact, my son just went through a divorce a year ago. And him and I were talking, and I said, Drew, I wish you weren't a boy. You could come on this retreat. I said, I want you to hear Psalm 51, Drew. I want you. I mean, he was a worship leader as a little boy growing up. He's loved Jesus his whole life. He just, you know, anyway, I want Drew to know Psalm 51, too, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that if David can commit murder and adultery and all that baloney that he did, that whatever we do, God can cover it too. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so God's mercy was in David's truthfulness, cleanse me. God's joy is in David's restoration, restore me. David's soul was sick and he knew it. He wanted to be clean and restored and he knew where to go for it. He knew where to find it. I respect him for this and for writing this so many years ago so that we would know what to do about our sin as well, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Some churches are not using the word sin anymore. It's not a popular word. Sin and hell and the Old Testament. They're really steering away from that. They're just wanting, you know, feel-good Christianity and build your self-esteem. And if you don't understand the holiness of God from learning the Old Testament and realizing what sin is and how it will destroy your life, you're never going to appreciate the God in the New Testament. Grace is going to mean nothing to you if you don't see the righteous, holy God of the Old Testament. Amen?
Amen.
So we teach the whole Bible at Calvary Chapel Santee. You guys know that. If there's no such thing as sin, then there's no need for a Savior. And I might add, no hope for depraved mankind. Psalm 51 was written after David's affair and murder of Uriah. David recognized how horrible his sin was against God and blamed no one but himself and begged for divine forgiveness. Even though he had sinned terribly, David knew that the forgiveness was based on God's covenant of love, that it was all about God. It wasn't about David earning his way to heaven. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, right? It's all about God's love and grace, not about what we can do. That ultimately his sin was against God and had separated him from the joy that he had known. He was experiencing a personal collapse under the guilt of his sin. Let's turn to Psalm 32, if you have a Bible. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 kind of go together, so I'm going to read it. Because now we're at the place where we're going to see that David is begging to be restored, not just cleansed, but restored. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall come, not near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Can you get that picture in your head? Mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So David was basically saying, I am dirty. I have no joy. My bones feel broken. And I can't see your face, Lord. Help. From these two corresponding psalms, we see David's sin had affected his whole person. His eyes in Psalm 51:3, his mind in Psalm 51:6, his ears and bones in Psalm 32:3 through 4, his heart, his spirit in 51:10, his hands in verse 14, his lips in 13 through 15. Wow! It wasn't just his soul. This sin had affected every part of his being, and you know what? It affects us too. It affects our blood sugar. It affects our blood pressure. It affects our gut, right? You guys know this, right? When we allow sin in our lives and we go to bed at night and we can hear that beating heart from that telltale thing from what is his name? Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah. It's stress. It leaves stress on us. So I pray that this weekend, if there's anything that's been done to you or done against you, that you'll leave it here. And that when you go home, you're going to have some sweet sleep and some peace in your heart. Psalm 73:21 through 22 says, "When my heart was embittered, I was pierced within. Then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you, Lord." So when it happens to the best of us, right? Something happens and we don't want to say we're bitter, but we're bitter. You know, you get bitter. It happens to the best of us. He says, "I was like a beast before you." Bitterness is a poison you drink hoping to kill someone else. Amen? So as Christian women, we need to realize this is something that we're going to struggle with, this bitterness drink. Romans 2:15 says, "Our conscience bears witness, and our thoughts alternately accuse or defend us." And this is so true of me. I have such a conscience because I want to represent Jesus with everything I've got. I remember working on the hospital floor when I first became a nurse. I had a, preceptor. So she was training me, an older woman, probably, if I think back, probably in her 70s. And I was in my 30s or maybe early 40s. My first day on the hospital floor, I'm with her. She's my preceptor. She's telling me what to do. I got hired in a hospital, which LVNs don't get hired in hospitals, only RNs. So I was really, really glad that God did that for me because I really wanted to work in a hospital. So I'm on my floor, I'm working. She says, we're doing the med cart. She says to me, room 204A needs an antiemetic. Here's the shot. It's the doctor called the order in, and go give it to 204A. And so I said, okay. So I went in. And I gave the shot to room 204A. When I came back to the med cart, she said, "We made a mistake. It was supposed to be 204B. I thought I was going to vomit." She says, "Just don't tell anybody." And this was, 25 years ago. It's probably worse now. She says, "Just don't tell anybody. It won't hurt him. It's not going to hurt him. It's just an antiemetic to keep him from feeling sick." And a lot of people in the hospital feel sick. So, I mean, this is like my first day or two on the hospital floor. She's my preceptor. She's been there forever and ever. And she's really respected. What do I do? What do I do? Well, I did what she said. I just didn't say anything. And I went home. And I put my head on the pillow. And the heart started beating. I was going, "Meef, what did you do?" So I immediately, the next day, went into the supervisor. And I said, "Look, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I don't want to cause any trouble. I'm brand new, and I want these girls to like me, and I want them to teach me how to be a nurse." I said, "But here's what happened." And I said, "So, if you need to fire me, whatever you got to do, I just can't live. I want to glorify God with my life, and I can't live with this in my conscience and be a nurse at this hospital." God handled it. It all worked out fine. But I have a strong conscience like that before the Lord. And sin does weigh us down. It does. Even just mistreating Gary. You know, like when I should be nicer to him when he's struggling. And instead of, trying to lift him up, I come alongside him and say, "Well, you should see what kind of day I had." You know what I mean? We all know how David was feeling with this going on. So our conscience bears witness, and our thoughts are alternately accusing or defending us. Acts 24:16, Paul says, I do my best to maintain a blameless conscience before God and man. There's peace in that, ladies. Maintaining a blameless conscience before God and man. Such is the high cost of committing or allowing sin. David knew this firsthand, so he asked for more than cleansing. As important as cleansing is, what we learned about this morning, he wanted more than that. He wanted his entire being to be restored so that he could serve the Lord again. So he said, restore to me the joy, Lord, of my salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. David had lost something very precious to him, his joy. And we can't participate in sin and not confess it and think that our life's going to be filled with joy. Have you ever felt like this? I have. I've been in a place where my life had no joy. And I wrote in my journal, I'm a journal, my girls who know me, that have been with me for years, know that that's like par, it's like how you be a Christian. As far as I'm concerned, you do your devotions, you write in your journal. Because when I write in my journal, he lifts it off my shoulders. I cry it out to my God. I write everything he tells me, everything he shows me. I beg him, I pray, all of that. So the Lord showed me one time, I'm always forced to climb. Because he's high and lifted up, amen? He's holy. So it ain't gonna be easy. I'm a sinner. And so I'm forced to climb. His house is on a hill. He's high and holy. I gotta be willing to do that. His ways are much higher than my ways. Psalm 24:3 through 4 says, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. And I wrote this in my journal. The pure in heart, Jesus said, the pure in heart see God. Isn't that cool? I want to see God. I wrote, the pure in heart see God. I miss the Lord. It has been terribly hard to see God over the past 4 years. Why? What happened to the sweet fellowship and communion we once shared? Where did the intimacy go? How could I lose something that was so important and precious to me? Someone did something to me that caused anger, bitterness, and resentment to well up in me, and I was so hurt I couldn't fake it. I had to take the time to feel the pain, be willing to accept that pain as a part of my life for a while, and walk through it with Jesus, warts and all, as ugly as I felt. There was no way out and no way around it. I had to walk right through. It was a lonely path, but very necessary. I would have never chosen this road for my pilgrimage. I was forced down it by the Lord so that I could come to a fuller understanding of what the definition of the words repentance and forgiveness mean. He was asking me to forgive. I loved that he forgave me. I'm always rejoicing about that every day. But now he was saying, Mief, I want you to forgive. I want you to repent of the bitterness and hatred that's in your heart that you're carrying. To obtain a key that would unlock the prison doors of my mind, I wanted to run, but where can I go from his spirit? I didn't want to face the pain of such rejection by this person that hurt me. I didn't want to forgive. I wanted vengeance. We all want and value the gift of forgiveness, but few will do the hard work or have the tenacity it takes to be willing to offer it to somebody else. It's a spiritual battle we wake up to every day. It begins before you even get out of bed. We are challenged to fight against our own human nature that wants to be angry, hit back, coddle pain, keep evil memories green with our tears, harbor bitterness, and worst of all, allow what has happened to us to change the very character of our soul. That was the scariest thing of all to me. I was hurt. So was I now going to become an angry, filled, hateful, vengeance-seeking person? I had to figure out forgiveness. I had to figure it out. I had to wrestle with God and figure out forgiveness. It is a spiritual battle, a true spiritual battle, warfare. Waking up every day and deciding to choose to forgive, spiritually fighting the God-denying look of things, and walking by faith, believing, trusting, and waiting for God to do his work. It's hard work, ladies. But my deepest heart's desire was to ascend to the hill of the Lord. I wanted to see God. I was like David, I wanted my joy restored. And many of you have already heard this poem. We put it in your little book. But when I finally got to a place where I was able to forgive, this poem came from the Holy Spirit. And I'm not a poet. I don't write poetry. It was my year of healing. And like, I can't remember how many poems just poured out of me. I've never written a poem since. The poem's called The House. Lord, my house has seen much heartache. I get hurt when others sin, and I'm left with many house guests who feel the need to just move in. Bitterness has brought her pillow, and in the guest room, there she lies. Every morning, I wake up to bitter thoughts and evil eyes. Vengeance moved in, and she is constant. I don't think she ever sleeps. She's persistent in her game plan. You should see the list she keeps. Hatred is the worst of house guests. She is mean and base and vile. Lord, I fear she'll never move out. She's been here for quite a while. And self-pity is the most annoying. And she moved in yesterday. She's so sneaky, you can't trust her. And I fear she baits her prey. Unwelcome house guests fill the rooms and dominate the atmosphere. I'm so tired of their presence. Could forgiveness please move here? This was my soul. I was a pastor's wife. I had a whole bunch of hurting women to take care of. And I was struggling in my own soul with forgiving someone. So I see what David means when he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Do you see it? See what he's asking for? He's tired of feeling separated from God. So number one, David prays, make me to hear joy and gladness. 51:8 says, make me hear joy and gladness, and let the bones which you have broken rejoice. David realized that something very precious was missing from his life, joy and gladness. Romans 2:15 says, our conscience bears witness and our thoughts accuse us and condemn us. Hebrews 10:22 says, draw near and have your hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Isn't that awesome? That's available to us. We can have our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And sometimes we're our own worst enemies. Our own thought talk, right? Can take us down. And I'm sure David struggled with that. It took a long time for him before he wrote Psalm 51. Isaiah 35:10 says, when we return to the Lord, we find joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee. Isn't that good? When we humble ourselves and return to the Lord, sorrow and sighing will flee. I'm pretty quick to ask others to forgive me. I make a lot of mistakes. I'm a goofball. I married a wonderful man, but I'm kind of goofy. But I have found that offering forgiveness is much more difficult. I can ask people to forgive me all day long. And I believe Jesus loves me and they need to forgive me because I'm trying as hard as I can. But it's very hard for when God asks me to forgive someone else. I have to choose to do the hard work of forgiving. Thought talk poisons me. David pours out his heart before the Lord and prays for healing for his entire body. Blot out my iniquities. David could have lived the remainder of his days in defeat, his soul completely exhausted, but he didn't. So number one, David says, make me to know joy and gladness again, God. And number two, David prays, create in me a clean heart and restore a right spirit within me. David knew that the source of his sin was himself. He wasn't blaming anybody else. His own wicked heart was the thing that had caused him to lose the joy of the Lord and the intimacy they once shared. He also knew that his heart was the seat of his joy and blessing, and that he himself was completely unable to change his heart. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I've been messed up, Lord. I feel dirty. I feel separate from you. Only God could work that miracle. And Psalm 145:14 says, the Lord sustains all who falls and raises up all who are bowed down. And the secret meaning of word all is all. Right? He loves every one of us the same. He loves you just as much as he loved David. Jeremiah 24:6-7 says, I will set my eyes on them for good. I will bring them back. And then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with a whole heart. And Ezekiel 36:25-27, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new song within you. So David prays, number one, make me to hear joy and gladness again, Lord. Number two, create in me a clean heart. And then finally he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. One time I was working in the hospital. Some of you have heard this before, but it was a rough day. I had two AIDS patients and a suicide attempt. And so my soul was really heavy. And I was just exhausted. And we got to be careful about how much of Jesus I share in the hospital. This is back when I was a floor nurse. And so I was working and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, how do I tell them about you? How can I bring you up? Or how can I, you know? And so then it was time for me to go in for my break, and I was so tired that I went into the break room, and I just laid my head down on the break room table, and I prayed, Lord, please help me. And when I looked up, I saw Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I went, yes, I can do this day. Jesus is with me. And you know what it was? It was Jesus who cleaned the refrigerator. Yeah, every time he cleaned the refrigerator in the nurse's break room, he wrote Jesus. And that was my Jesus given me through Jesus. So David says, restore my joy, the joy of my salvation, and sustain me, Jesus, with a willing spirit. Bring back the sweet fellowship we used to have. Cause me to hear the whispers of your wisdom again, God. Fill my days with your presence right in the midst of this difficult situation. He couldn't change his situation. He had committed murder and adultery. He couldn't make that go away. But he was asking God to restore his joy right in the midst of his suffering and difficult situation. Give me the peace that passes understanding. Psalm 83 says, "Oh God, restore us. Cause your face to shine upon us." Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence is the fullness of joy." That's why we don't want him to remove his presence from us, amen? And Psalm 87:7 says, "All my springs of joy are in you, Lord." That's where the greatest joy on earth come from. And Proverbs 17:22, the last one, "Joyful heart is good medicine." So your bones will be doing better, your blood pressure will be doing better, right? So God's mercy was in David's truthfulness this morning. And David prayed, "Cleanse me." And then God's joy was in David's restoration. And he said, "Restore me. Make me hear joy and gladness. Create in me a clean heart. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And sustain me with a willing spirit, O God." I'm going to ask Janet and the girls to come up. If you want to turn the lights down a little bit for me, somebody, please. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." If you've come here this weekend and you feel like your joy needs to be restored, I pray that you would do business with God right now as we sing this next song. Everyone close your eyes, and Janet, go ahead and sing.